Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the historic 42nd edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hinkins, the human hand grenade Danny Only, and we've got a couple of people already on the line with us tonight. It was a big weekend in local wrestling, and of course tonight's a big night for worldwide wrestling, but we have Jimmy Rave and GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com's Larry Goodman talk about another big story that's come up over the weekend. So I guess we can just get right into it. Jimmy, do you want to tell us what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing today?
Hey, Jimmy.
All right.
Jimmy Ray.
Hey, Jimmy,
up,
could you just basically walk us through, like, the last 48, 72 hours of Jimmy Ray's life?
Well, Friday, I got up and went to work, and I had a meeting with some of the directors from various places in the state of Georgia, like my real job. And then as soon as I left work, I had to drive to Nashville because my grandfather passed away last Saturday, and we had a memorial service for him scheduled for Saturday afternoon. So I drove to Nashville. And attended his service, and then we drove back all night on Saturday night so I could get up and be at Rampage on Sunday. On Sunday, a few things kind of came up between myself and Bill Barons. We had some things go on, and then there was a few other mishaps. I usually ride down with Sean Banks, and he wasn't able to come, and I ended up having a conversation with Dr. Gayton. Some things kind of came up at work between all this, and I decided that it would be best for everybody involved that I not go to Warner Robins yesterday. And then this morning, like, that was the last conversation I had with anybody, which was about 10 a.m. on Sunday. I let Bill know that I wasn't going to be able to come, and then this morning I got an email, along with the rest of the Rampage crew, that Murder One and Ben Masters would be taking over mine and Bill Barron's positions.
So Bill is also his position is also changed or deleted or something there as Rampage as well.
I'm not quite sure what's going forward. But Bill and I were charged with creative and formatting the televisions and the production of the TV show. So we were kind of a package deal when it came. As far as that was concerned. So I'm not sure if those will be still used in that capacity, but, he was also, very instrumental in the creative side of things with me. So
it's Sunday when you had the phone call. At that point, your understanding, they knew you weren't going to be there, but your understanding at that point was that you were still, the booker of the promotion. Is that right?
Yeah, and I knew I was taking a chance by not going, relieving myself of that position, But I kind of felt like it was in bad taste to inform me when everybody else is informed, or not call me and get the full story. We did have an issue at at my job to where I ended up having to work yesterday afternoon. And, the fact of the matter is, I thought if anybody, a doctor, would understand, the whole being on call thing. So,
yeah.
I think we have to kind of talk about a little before this was, is Danny only running on a treadmill? I hear something in the background.
Or driving, maybe?
No, one, I don't do cardio, and two, I've muted my phone, so.
Okay. There's a little precursor to this. Like, I did get a text message about 3 weeks ago from Dr. Gayton saying, myself and crew and Bill Barron's all got the same text message saying that there was that he was losing money, which, I don't know who's making a lot of money in wrestling these days, but that if it continued or the attendance didn't get better, then we would, he would have to shut down. So, I've from day one have always told Dr. Gayton, this is your money, like I'll spend it like it's my money, but it's your money and your promotion. So I can't fault somebody if they're losing money, because I know I'm not in a position to lose money. So if somebody needs to jump out, that's fine, But, I didn't get the courtesy of being able to fix things that needed to be fixed. That's kind of my biggest gripe too, if there's problems that arise, point out the problems and afford me an opportunity to fix them.
I had heard rumors of that there was going to be a change made this weekend, a couple days in advance of the taping. I first heard something. I guess it was Saturday. I want to say Saturday morning. I heard that something might happen, and I also heard that. I wondered if you could comment on this. That there was the angle involving Patrick Bendley having a knife in the ring. That there was some upset about that at the previous taping. Is there any truth to that?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, the problem is like when concerns are risen, they've never been brought to my attention. And if they are, then we quickly change them, mm-hmm. Like I had heard, third person from other people that there were some things that was questionable, I had heard that we did an angle where Murder One was smoking a cigar and, put it in AJ Steele's eye, and the story that got back to me was that fans were upset because this guy was smoking in the building in front of their kids, right? And my response was, he's a bad guy, so you're supposed to be telling your kids don't do that thing that bad person's doing, right? But it was never addressed to me, Like if that was an issue, then, please come and tell me, I'm not sure. I never heard anything about the Patrick thing either. We ran the videos with him and the knife and never anybody addressed that to me. So.
I just want to ask one other thing, and then I'm going to turn it over, to other guys. But and by the way, I'm sorry for you for the loss of your grandfather, Jimmy.
Oh, thank you.
I guess it's been my feeling has been that as long as the Rampage was going to run at Sundays at 3 p.m., it was going to be a huge uphill fight, and it was going to be very difficult to draw at that time. Your thoughts on that?
I think. That's always going to be an issue. Part of my fight in this process has been with just the support staff of Rampage, not necessarily Doc, but like the support staff where, I have literally saved every email that has anything to do with any regards of Rampage. Because I've learn just from practical business that you save everything that's ever agreed upon or said. And so, you know, like, for example, we sent out an email in February and to somebody in Dr. Gayton's office, and it was returned in May, you know, about something that had already happened. And it was involving Mother's Day, I think. Like, we sent out a schedule 6 months prior to, you know, and, you know, got it approved. But Mother's Day was on there, and then we get a call, you know, telling us that, hey, you know, Johnny Jesus closed on Mother's Day, so we don't know how you're going to have a show. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's just a very huge lack of communication, you know? So, and then when we first started, it was on Saturdays, and then it moved to Sundays, and then it was at 2 o'clock, and then it was at 3 o'clock, you know? And then it was the second and fourth, and then it was the, you know, first and third. And so, you know, all these things, like, are, you know, every time you make a change like that, it's going to be a challenge. So, you know, and then, like, when you put it on a Sunday or, like, you know, Friday afternoons are difficult, like, or Friday evenings are difficult, you know, so, you know, it's just, Sunday was great for, you know, the wrestlers because we were all able to go and do other things on Fridays and Saturdays and pick up a third show for that week on a Sunday, you know. So that was always kind of a positive thing. But, you know, like if the issue is drawing a live crowd, then, you know, like there's a lot that goes into that. Like, for example, I live, you know, a little over 3 hours away from Warner Robins. And I have a very demanding, you know, job that, you know, requires my attention a lot of times. And so, like, it's very difficult for me to be able to promote a show 3 hours away. And, like, I've never been hired to be a promoter. And, you know, I was hired to do creative things because I, you know, like, I've never promoted a day in my life, you know. And so that becomes a challenge. And then when there's nobody charged to do that job, and then there's a whole bunch of other, you know, people involved, and everybody's pointing a finger at another and the job's still not getting done, it only becomes a problem when it's a problem for the main man in charge, you know? And so, you know, that's kind of out of my hands. So, you know, and then when anything else came up, it was, you know, hey, just make the best TV show possible, you know? And so that's what I attempted to do.
So the promotional end was never really expect. That was never your end of it.
Well, I volunteered to do other promotional things, like, you know, doing radio interviews or any kind of, like, you know, broader promotional type things. You know, like, I brokered the deal with Dragon Gate USA. You know, we offered the stuff to TNA when they came in. So, I was charged with, you know, trying to make it more of a larger, you know, entity within the wrestling world. But I mean, like, I also fought for it not getting too big, you know, like there was many times, even when we brought in Brian Danielson and they wanted to move the show to the Civic Center. And I was like, I don't think that's a wise decision. We have a free building right here, you know. Or there was talks of pay-per-views, and I was very much against that too. And so, because, like, you know, I also look at it realistically. Like, I know if, you know, if we can't get people in the building, I'm not going to assume that people are just going to buy an pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, we give away a great wrestling product on TV for free, you know, like it does, you know, nobody's getting their arm twisted to come in. So that, you know, and then on the other end, we would book for these big shows and then it was given away on TV for free, you know, and I've also been kind of opposed to how the YouTube thing was done, like where they show the last 2 minutes of the match. And I say, you know, if we're trying to get people to watch our entire TV show, we need to stop giving away the finishes of every match. You know, and that was just kind of fell on deaf ears. You know, like I'm totally cool with, you know, showing some highlights of the match, but, you know, when you give away the finish, then what, you know, why would somebody tune in for the whole show? But I meant like, and that's the thing is like, I helped do the Facebook stuff. And when I took that over, there was, you know, the fan page had like 190 likes and now it has like 1800, you know, and like, I've done a lot of, you know, other promotional type things in order to get it viewed by a larger audience. And I've asked a lot of favors from a lot of my friends, you know, like Davey and Pierce and Cabana and Daniel Bryan and, you know, those guys, and they've all been super swell to me and, you know, been helpful. And so like, but the promotion end, you know, just wasn't my part of the deal,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, it would be very difficult for me to agree to say, hey, I guarantee you I'll put another 100 people into this building when I can't be down there and facilitating that, you know?
In terms of what you were, in terms of the creative, I guess you were in charge roughly 2 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we just did like our, I can't remember what, like, I think we just did 100 episodes of TV. So yeah, probably a little over 2 years.
What are you proudest of over that period, would you say?
I loved everything about the, you know, Kyle Matthews story where, you know, when I came in, it was, you know, Kyle was losing every match and like Frankie Valentine had just left. So they didn't know what to do with him. So it was just a job guy. I asked Nick and Joe before they left. I was like, hey, can we do this thing where he's my second, you know, and I kind of take him under my wing and we started that. And then like, you know, from there he, you know, gets one good win and he gets put in the four-way with Bryan Danielson and myself and J-Rod. And like, I was the TV champ at the time and I was starting the heel turn and then I go under and then J-Rod goes under and then him and Kyle have this great match and he goes under and, but he was made in one night and then never won, you know? And, like that was a good moment. And then, you know, we roughly, it was just a little bit over 2 years where we like, I had turned on him and we had developed this whole thing and then he finally beat me as the Rampage heavyweight champion. And I just thought it was a good, you know, from the bottom to the top kind of story. And I mean, there's, you know, there's been other, you know, really great, you know, runs there. I mean, like, you know, just recent stuff like Casey McKnight, like was a great, you know, come in and, you know, get him over really quick and had some amazing matches. And then, you know, but then he got signed by WWE, and so we, you know, his run was going to be coming short soon. And then, you know, and then, you know, and then I loved everything as Sean Banks as the champion, you know, because I, man, like he was, you know, like he would not miss, you know, like he was, you know, the top guy the every night, like it was just a workhorse, and like I just really thought it, you know, he was somebody that nobody thought could carry that ball, and he like he scored every night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, then we like we had a lot of really really good angles, and you know it was just, you know, there was a lot of fun things. Like I felt like, you know, the even like guys like Marv and Anthony Andrews who or Drew Adler who just started as guys that I begged Nick and Joe and Mike and those guys to book because I saw them and I was like, I think these guys have something, you know, and they were just, you know, first match guys. And then we slowly built Drew to be a TV champion and Marv and Anthony Andrews have like this really good, you know, dynamic now. And they, you know, I think they're very underrated and they know their spot on the card. They know they're the first match and they can get people in it. And, you know, I think that's a very great role. And like Jeremy Vane was just like somebody that, you know, like he, you know, he would try to joke with me and I would kind of get into, like, you know, serious mode when I get to the shows. And, you know, like, but, I mean, like, I couldn't stop giving him the ball because he was scoring every time, you know, and, like, just having amazing matches with every guy. And, like, he was the guy that, like, I knew Casey McKnight was somebody I wanted to get over. And I put him in the ring with Jeremy Vane, and, like, Jeremy gets him over right away, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like, those guys are so invaluable. And, you know, like, Jeremy really gets the psychology of being a heel and, you know, like, and just being able to watch these guys develop, you know, from day one, I told everybody, I was like, look, you know, I'm not looking to get I'm not at a position in life right now where, like, I feel like I need to have a full-time wrestling gig, you know? I said, but, like, what I, you know, I enjoy doing is helping guys, you know, get opportunities to go and do bigger and better things. And so when we were able to do that for some people and, you know, kind of groom people and let them, you know, work some TV stuff and work with good guys, then it was awesome.
Jimmy, I've got a couple of questions. First, Rampage has consistently been, you know, one of the top promotions in Georgia, and you've been there for about 2 years, it sounds like. So during that time, if I remember correctly, you won Booker of the Year on the award show that we did here, and Rampage was, you know, did very well in the awards overall for Georgia wrestling history. But it's just been recently, from what I understand, that ticket sales have gone down and the crowds have gotten a little thinner and stuff like that. What do you, I mean, you've kind of touched on some of the things in what you've been saying, but what might you attribute all that to? You went from, I guess, starting this year as one of the top promotions, if not the top promotion in Georgia, and it sounds like things have just kind of spiraled downward over the past few months.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I think a lot of that, I'm not going to lie, and this is something I probably need to throw out there. In January, I came back from India, and, like, there was an incident with an old-time wrestler in December where I was, the angle was that I was going to be suspended indefinitely, and this, you know, person, challenged me and, you know, five other guys, and I had a pair of scissors in my hand, and, like, he didn't know my name or anybody else on the show's name except for Dr. Gayton, and, like, just kind of went into business for himself. And then I went to India and did stuff there, and then I came back, and I called Dr. Gayton, and I said, like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is becoming too much for me. Like, you know, like, I'm putting so much energy into this, and, like, you know, I'm getting nothing out of it right now, you know? And, like, they asked me to stay on for a little while longer, and I agreed to, and, you know, and, like, we had, you know, developed some storylines and brought some people, like, this last show, I brought a whole bunch of, you know, fresh guys in and, you know, guys that, you know, like, we were told would help draw a crowd, and so, like, I'm not opposed to doing whatever it takes, you know, but I think the consistent changes of times, the consistent, when I came back from India, Danny, were you there when I came back in January, or had you guys left?
No, we had already left. We left right when they went to Sundays, and then
right.
I came back for a couple months ago, but yeah, we were
right.
Already gone.
Well, I mean, like, there, you know, like, there was a few, you know, shows where, like I was less than jovial, you know, and I came in and I was just like, you know, if nobody fucking gives a shit about this show, then why should I, you know? Like, I'm, you know, I just, you know, people were showing up late or, you know, not showing up at all, you know, like, just, you know, doing whatever they wanted. And then, you know, like, I just felt like I was the only one, you know, there's a pocket full of guys that are super awesome and, like, just does whatever they told and, you know, continuously tries, you know? And I just wasn't getting that all around. And, you know, and then when I start getting, you know, just, you know, like, hey, man, nobody else is trying, I'm not going to try type thing. That's when I went to Doc and I was like, I'm done with this. So I think that, you know, like, that when somebody's in charge of being creative and the thing that they're supposed to be creating isn't, you know, fun anymore, I'm sure that affected the products, you know, but the main thing is like, if you change like a show date or time, then, you know, whatever promoting you were going to do, if any before that, you have to do twice as hard now, because now you have to re-educate people. Like, okay, you know, like, that's why I've always loved, Wildside. You know, I knew every first and third Saturday of every month, you know, there was going to be wrestling in Cornelia, Georgia. You know what I mean? And, you know, whether it was a holiday or whatever, you know, we made it work. And so, like, when you don't have that consistency, it's very difficult.
I think that had a lot to do with it, too, because, and let me go ahead and throw this disclaimer out there. I am in absolutely zero way and have anything to do with any of the backstage, behind the door of any company I wrestle for. The closest it comes is this radio show. I'm strictly a wrestler and a fan of what's going on. So these are strictly the opinions of Danny Only and Danny Only Only. That was retarded sounding. But anyway, this is just me saying it from outside perspective. Back around the time, and I'm not saying this Rampage when Rampage first started, but back around the time and it really started picking up steam, you had, like Jimmy said, you had Anarchy was first and third Saturday, and Rampage was doing second and fourth Saturday. And it seemed really good because people were able to get those bookings, and they knew every Saturday they had two really good companies to work for. Then, if I remember correctly, shortly after, Rampage started going the first and third Saturday. And I remember at the time, and I wasn't even, I don't even think the Hate Junkies were even really doing anything at Anarchy. So this was two plus years ago. I remember at the time thinking, man, that's kind of a dick move, because now you're forcing people to choose, and a lot of people chose to go to Rampage, and that hurt the talent pool at Anarchy a little bit. And then Anarchy went to second, fourth Saturday, and everyone was reassured that it had nothing to do with the move. But I don't care how many times you say it, everybody has the perception that they went to first and third, they're hurting our talent, we need it back, so we're going to second, fourth. That's what it seemed like to everybody. And then
right.
Anarchy changes the tradition. I mean, how long, Jimmy, were they first and third from Wildside on? Like 10 years, 9 years?
Yeah, it was longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, a really, really long time of that tradition, and then they go and change it. And then I remember me and Strick were doing Rampage on first and third, and we were doing Anarchy on second and fourth, and we were starting to really pick up good steam. You know, we were involved in the angle with the Usual Suspects in Dark City. We were doing good stuff there, doing good stuff at Anarchy, and then Rampage switched to Sundays. And I remember hearing around about how it was, you know, Johnny G's is making the money, Rampage isn't making the money for Johnny G's. And I was like, well, that's perfectly understandable, but I noticed right away that drop in attendance on Sunday, because people like wrestling, but most of the time, people on a Sunday afternoon want to chill with the family, they want to go to church, they want to go to a barbecue or whatever. Saturday night, their options are go out and party, or go to the movie and spend $45 for tickets to a movie, or go check out wrestling for $20. So you had more people going in there Saturday. So I think that was a huge detriment to their attendance, was changing so many times in 2 years.
Wait, and John Miller introduced me.
What's going on?
I don't know. I think this is a sign from God that Danny shouldn't be speaking.
Well, it may be Strychnine. We have Strychnine was one of our scheduled guests tonight, and he is on the line now. I brought him on because I didn't know if maybe he wanted to contribute to what Danny was saying.
Can you hear me? Am I audio at this point? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
no, you're just visual right now.
Oh, yeah.
You're hard enough to understand as it is, Strychnine, but now you got a bad connection.
Weird astral plane. I didn't know I was audible yet. The only thing I have to add to this whole thing about the changing of the dates was it did make a lot of sense when Anarchy switched to second and fourth. It was mainly two reasons. A, so we could, you know, go with our talent pool back. And B, you know, although first and third was the tradition, that's the occasional month where I had the fifth Saturday always really, really poorly. And on that second and fourth schedule that we have currently, that fifth Saturday is our big show. So it actually helped us a lot.
And like, the real thing about it is there's no, like, exact science on this. And I think if there was, somebody would have already figured it out by now, you know? I just know, you know, like I'm somebody that comes, like, likes to have a structured environment, And then, you know, when that gets disrupted, like, I'm either like, all right, screw it, you know, or like, if I'm a very faithful person, I'll have to, you know, fall in line with whatever they do, you know. And, like, Rampage does have its faithful people, and they continue to, you know, switch back and forth with us, you know. But I mean, like, we also have, you know, faithful people that just weren't able to make it on a Sunday. And, like, that, you know, that always affected the crowd, and it always, you know, it just, it, you know, it's hard for people, you know, like I said about Wildside, you know, like, the great thing about it was that they were always first and third, and the same people always showed up. And so, like, they were very invested in the storylines and the wrestlers and very connected with everything that was going on. And we had a pocket full of that, but we weren't, you know, keeping a big enough pocket full of that, you know? So, you know, that was just something that was difficult. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into this, this whole decision. And like I said, I support Dr. Gaten's decision to change, directions and go with a different, you know, crew of guys or, you know, committee or whatever it is. But, I have a hard time getting behind how it was done. You know, like, if I felt like with the time invested that I deserve the respect to either one, like, get a notice and say, hey, like, you know, all right, you're done next week, you know, finish it out, you know, and, you know, you know, close any chapters of any book that you want to close out, and then, you know, hit the high roads. But then again, you know, I wasn't afforded that opportunity. Now, you know, in Dr. Gaten's defense, like, he has, you know, emailed the new guys in charge and let them know that, hey, like, I have no hard feelings towards Jimmy, but, and, you know, like, go ahead and book him if that's what you guys want to do, if that's the direction you want to go in. But seriously, like, that's difficult for me to just kind of swallow my pride on that one.
Yeah, that's understandable. Well, we could probably talk for hours about this, and we might have you back on in the near future to continue, but we need to get on to Strychnine and other stuff we're going to talk about. But I do have a couple more questions before we let you go, Jimmy.
Okay.
One, you mentioned that you brought in some new talent and stuff like that over the past few months, and I've heard some criticism over how particular talent, such as the Washington Bullets, were used in Rampage. I don't know how much influence you had over that, but do you care to talk about that at all?
The Washington Bullets came in and cleaned house the very first taping they were in and won 3 matches in one night. And then they beat Hot Like Lava over and over and over again, and we put them in a hot 10-man with us. And so, like, I'm not quite sure where that's coming from, but, like, I do know that we had them off the last TV because they were going to Virginia, and then they contacted me a week before and said, we're not going. And unlike some other professional wrestling booking, I don't book, like, week to week. I try to, you know, have everything a little bit laid out. And so, and then this past time, I was told, like I said, the doc sent a text message and was like, hey, you know, budget's an issue. And I knew that we were bringing in, you know, some, you know, higher paid guys this TV to see if that worked. And so we sat them down. But sort of we sat down Frankie Valentine, who's like one of my dear friends. And, you know, it's, you know, nothing but, you know, what we had to do. I mean, like, I sat down the Jimmy Rave Approved guys when we did the spot with me and Kyle Matthews. And so, like, that's, you know, it's nothing against anybody, but it's, you know, like, sometimes you have to sit and sometimes you have to lose, you know, like, my job isn't pro wrestler. It's somebody that looks at lights all the time. So.
Right. Well, speaking of you as a pro wrestler, Jimmy Rave Approved was obviously a big part of Rampage. So, where does that leave you as a wrestler in Rampage? Are you still there, or do you know what's going on with that? Or
yeah, well, I mean, like, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, like, it, you know, I can swallow my pride about a lot of things, but, like, This one is very difficult for me to get over, and I can't say never will I go back, but like I, at this time, it like probably wouldn't be, you know, the best environment for me. So, you know, so like I'll just take other bookings and, you know, do whatever I got to do. And, you know, like I, you know, like I still have, it was my decision to, you know, only focus on Rampage, and like turning down bookings was something that I did because I wanted to focus on Rampage and, you know, not overwhelm myself with a whole bunch of travel and doing other things. But, you know, if I got to go and do that now, that's fine.
Do you have anything currently booked in the near future? I'm sure it's probably not on short notice, but.
Yeah. I'm actually wrestling for Deep South Championship Wrestling. I think that's what it is. And Blue Ridge for Woody and that company up there. And, you know, like the last time I was there, it was amazing and they drew well and maybe they have a promoter or something. And I had a lot of fun there, and Woody is somebody that, you know, has been helpful for me, you know, for over a decade. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. When, do you know when you'll be up there next?
Yeah, that'll be Saturday. This Saturday. It's actually a free show, and you know, myself, Kyle Matthews, and Sean Banks, and David Young, and a whole cast of characters will be there.
All right. Well, like I said, we got to get to our other guests for tonight, but I appreciate you calling in kind of last minute to talk about all this. I don't know if anyone else has any questions for Jimmy. Now's the time.
I got one thing I'd like to ask. Jimmy, this is Matt. Jimmy Rave proved, and yourself, you know, you were in the main event a lot, and as the booker, that's a tough situation to be in. Do you think that played a part in how this all went out? Did you think that you kind of caught the blame for the decline in this and all that because your group was a lot of times heavily focused on at the show?
I would disagree with you because, like, I took myself off the show probably 6 months in total. So, you know, 6 months out of 2 years is, you know, difficult, you know, just, and like there was many times where Sal and I were, you know, doing rewind and dark matches and stuff. But, you know, like we were focused heavily, but it was a, you know, a development of things, you know, like you can ask any of those guys, like I'm harder on those guys than I am anybody. And like when, you know, like our job was to get people over. And so, you know, we did a lot of 10-man and 8-mans and to try to get, you know, other guys over. And like, it was a different way of doing things. And, you know, that is done in the South. And we, like, it's something that I learned while I was in Japan. And like, it worked a lot of the times, you know, and like, so yeah, we were focused on it, but I've always been somebody that, you know, if me getting beat by somebody in the main event helps them out, then so be it, you know?
All right. Well, anybody else got anything for Jimmy Rave tonight?
Yeah, I know Jimmy hates me, but thank you, Jimmy, for help and all that good stuff that you did for me when you did.
Hey, Danny, you walked to the ring better than anybody I've ever seen in my life, and so I can never hate you.
That means so much to me. I appreciate that.
All right, you guys have a great night, and I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to voice everything. And don't get me wrong. I wish everybody at Rampage the best of luck because I wouldn't want to help, you know, destroy anything that I created. And I, you know, they still have a great talent pool, and like I'm hopeful that, you know, they have continued success.
All right. Well, good luck to you and in your future endeavors. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but
yeah. It's not the
but
first
no,
time
seriously,
it won't be the last. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see you in other promotions sometime very soon.
Yeah. All right. Go talk to Strick. Peace.
All right. Thanks a lot. So now we're going to take a quick commercial break because we have to, and then we'll talk Strychnine.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Femmes of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Being joined by the human hand grenade, Danny Only, Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, and the other half of the Hate Junkies, the Lethal Dose Strychnine. I got to say how ironic it is that we get off the phone with Jimmy Rave and the first ad is a Rampage Pro Wrestling ad. I don't think it's been that obvious before, but I couldn't help but laugh to myself a little bit. Before we talk to Strychnine, I wanted to try to catch up before all this stuff came about with Rampage. We failed to hit on a lot of things that have been going on with Danny Only last week because we were catching up from the previous week. But once again, a couple weeks ago at Academy Theater for Empire Wrestling, Danny Only got his hands on the Jagged Edge and made him bleed. So we can catch up on that maybe tonight, maybe next week. But until then, we have Strychnine, who's got, well, first of all, you came off some big matches over the weekend, and you got even bigger matches coming up this weekend. So welcome again to the show, Strychnine.
Yep. And I know that you're find this hard to believe at all that I am talking to you on the phone while I am on the roof of my house.
I would expect no less from you.
That's exactly what I would expect you.
And there might be like a dead animal involved or something, right?
That guy's got to have lunch, though. But, yeah.
Hi, faggot.
What's that?
I said, anyway. Hi, faggot.
Hey, queer. What's going on? Friday night.
When are the exotic ones calling?
Yeah. At APW, and it was like the last stop before Freedom Fight with this whole dealio with me and Anthony Henry. And a little history lesson. Last year, I set him on fire to basically pick a fight. And it was one of the show in the springtime, and it's one of the bigger shows, and Danny and I weren't booked on the show at all. So when opportunity didn't knock, we kicked in the front door.
Yay.
So, it was complete mayhem, and me and him ended up fighting all over the building, and out in the parking lot. Legit, the cops got called on us for fighting out in the street. And the powers that be decided they didn't want that this year. So when Anthony finally got his little fucking revenge and, you know, he burnt me, I'm missing an eyebrow, et cetera, they made this thing that we can't touch each other till freedom fight. And he's acting like a little stupid kid. I'm not touching you. Duh. So when I actually, when it is finally denoted that I will get my hands on him, I'm probably going to beat that little shit fuck senseless. But that's what I do.
This makes me smile.
Well, you do have the NWA Southern States Championship on the line, so I would hope that that's your plan.
Yeah, I've been holding on to that since February. Pinned Yasir Akbar to take the title. I've been holding on to it ever since.
Rick, you might want to hold on to it tight because there's rumor around the campfire that there's a slim possibility that that will be the last time it's referred to as the NWA Southern States title.
Oh, why? Let's talk around the campfire. Why?
There's a whole lot of talk about the NWA.
Oh, well.
Maybe Danny knows more than I do, but I've heard some things, too.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm not going to speculate what's going on. I'm just, there's a huge shakeup with the NWA and a re-shifting of power and a rebranding of brands. And I really hope that APW is one of the ones that stays with the NWA name because a lot of people come there and learn a lot from a lot of people there. It's not one of these other companies who I don't think deserve to have the NWA name.
I know you can basically pay your way, like NWA dues and whatever. I was told we were contacted about it, about taking, like, you know, like, would you like to be an NWA partner, blah, blah, blah. Other
well,
things
awesome.
Kind of
I hope it stays somewhere. That way.
Yeah. I think that little wherever the fuck Ace Haven, I know I mentioned that name, wherever he is, it's basically, all right, we need something to go with our name. To make it seem more legit, let's buy into the NWA. That's what I'm to understand. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Like,
from what I've heard, it's not that expensive either.
I have no clue.
Not but, nearly as you think it would be.
Anyway, sir, you have that title defense on Friday, right?
Yeah, this coming Friday.
And then Saturday, you and Danny are... once again, taking on the Urban Assault Squad in a hangman's match at NWA Anarchy, which
yes,
I can only
right.
imagine.
That's right. In the South, we only in Cornelia, Georgia, will the fans cheer white men hanging black men. But
oh, and I got
or black
men
hanging white
men,
for that matter.
I got to speak on that real quick because Nemesis was a little bit wrong. You see, when everybody hit the ring, and when the Urban Assault Squad and the Hate Junkies were beating the holy hell out of each other, and the Urban Assault Squad took off scurrying up the rampway, and when Dan Wilson issued the challenge for a rematch for a hangman's match, Nemesis said that was a match they had never lost. Strick, did we win the last one?
No.
Oh, that's right. We did lose. But
yeah, I know. They have lost one to somebody, but it wasn't us. We inherently
kind of
won the war. I mean, we lost the match, but we kind of won the war because we got the standing ovation when we stood up.
Well, it's not only that, but they might have won the hangman match. But if I remember correctly, Nemesis was tied up to a post, and Shadow Jackson was gargling blood and spit because we beat the hell out of both of them. So
yeah,
I got a feeling that that's probably going to happen again or else we wouldn't issue the challenge. Punks.
Yeah, we're good at beating them two up. Let's just be honest. Like, we beat them in the Falls Count Anywhere match. I think we beat them one other time. And I'm not sure the exact win-loss ratio is between us. But we're pretty good. No matter what their attitude is, whether Shadow Jackson's taking hands and kissing babies or if he's just being his rat bastard self, apparently. We're pretty good at this.
And you know, that's something that kind of upsets me too, because it's like, you know, I kind of related it to, you know, after we beat the hell out of each other for so long that we had this mutual admiration for each other. And Nemesis always, you know, I never trusted that dude, but he was always like that drunk, crazy uncle that just got out of jail that, you know, it's going to have, you know that you and your uncle are going to have a good time and you're probably going to get in a couple fights, but you don't really know what he's going to do. You're going to be riding down the road in a car and he'll pull the car over and beat the hell out of you for no reason. I always looked at Nemesis that way. Shadow, that blew my mind because I never thought that the Hate Junkies and Shadow would ever be on the same page because we hated that dude from the second we got in the building. And, you know, we kind of had a mutual admiration for each other because we took it to him and he brought it right back to us. But, you know, I guess he turned tail and showed his true colors, man. He's a punk.
Yeah, because I have a very, I mean, very long history with Shadow Jackson, even back to when I was a green boy, back in 03-ish. So me and him have never been on the same page, despite what page we were on. So, who, I don't know, it's weird. You got to play this by ear, because people want to turn on a dime, and you never know whether they really flip shit or when they were cool was when they were playing the role. You never know. But all the same, it's gonna be another night of the office beating up the Urban Assault Squad.
Yeah, it's gonna be a war, man. I mean, it's something, you know. It's something when you take an enemy of yours and you fight for so long, and then you have a common goal. You know, they say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, that's exactly what happened. You know, the Hate Junkies and the Urban Assault Squad, don't get it twisted. You know, we never went to Waffle House after the show. And, you know, we didn't hang out trading CDs or anything like that. But when this whole thing with the Empire, or I'm sorry, with the Elite came along, with Bailey and Palmer and all that, you know, we had a mutual enemy. So, you know, we aligned ourselves with them to help deal with that. And now we got them two boys who wanted to turn on us and turn on everybody else and side with those pukes and all them other little punks and miscreants, which normally I would like, but it's just the way they went about it. You see, the Hate Junkies, when we came in the building, there was no mask about it. It was just us. We came in there and kicked you in the face, spit in your face. We took your money and went to the concession stand and bought what we wanted. We never faked ourselves. And every single person in that group has been a fake.
We never pretended at all. We never pretended we were anything we weren't. So we're the tornado you saw coming and hope like fuck you got out of the way.
Well, that's kind of the funny thing with both of you. You've always kind of been who you are, which for some reason over the past few months in whatever promotions you're both wrestling in, people suddenly like you guys hawking loogies on people and being assholes and all that.
You know what I equate it to? You know what I equate it to? And it's interesting that you say that. If you can't answer this question, then you probably shouldn't be a wrestling fan. Why, besides his ability and the way he could talk, besides who he was, what was it about Stone Cold Steve Austin that everybody loved?
His bald head?
Yeah, that too. You're an idiot. No, it was that is what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted to be able to go to work and flip off their boss and tell him to kiss his ass and do whatever they wanted to and walk into the building drinking a beer. Everybody wanted to be that. Now, before you go off on the deep edge, I'm not comparing us to Stone Cold Steve Austin in the slightest bit, but what I am saying is people see what me and Strickland do, and they like it because we don't take shit from anybody. It doesn't matter how big you are, you know, Seven, Jagged Edge, Gomez Adams. It doesn't matter how big you are. We went straight at you, and we weren't the nerds getting shoved in our locker. We were the people that got picked on and then turned around and punched you right back in the face. And I think that's what everybody loves about us, that common bond that we're what they wanted to be and couldn't be because a lot of them didn't have the guts to do it, but we do. And I think that's why everybody took to us. I'm not going to say they love us, but they definitely took to us.
Yep. We, and sometimes more are my problem. We're the ones who were like, to make your name for yourself, you always go and pick a fight with the biggest kid in the schoolyard. And they say, like, jailhouse rules where you find the biggest mofo you can see and punch him straight in the mouth. Yeah, that's kind of what we do. I'm guilty of that a lot.
And I drink a lot.
Well, we've got someone just joined us on the line that might want to respond to what you were just saying, Danny.
Uh-oh.
Danny only. First of all, I want to say good afternoon. Let me say this to you before I get started and get rolling. Before I address you, Danny, before I address you, you and Strychnine, I want to say this. The next time, Jonathan Williams, you have somebody on your show that want to bitch and whine and complain about losing a job, not doing what they're supposed to, doing the job, just let me know, and I will not tune in. Let me tell you something. You're going to do a wrestling show, any wrestling show. I'm the type of person, I'm going to go somewhere where it's people that look like me. If nobody looks like me, I ain't coming. And that's one of the things that I didn't like about that particular organization, but that's just me speaking my opinion, an opinion like an asshole. Everybody got one, and everybody think everybody else is stink. So I'm just saying what's on my mind. That's it.
And for those,
no more
for those who don't
whining.
Recognize
no
for those
whining.
Who don't recognize the voice, this is the
like
Jagged
me.
Edge.
If everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to see, have somebody they can relate to. Danny Only, Strychnine just made the statement. People like Stone Cold because they can relate to him. That people like Danny and Strick for whatever reason, because they can relate to him. They won't give up. That's one thing I say. Danny is a tough son of a bitch. You can keep hitting him in the head, keep stomping him in the face. He ain't going to give up. He's going to keep coming. Just like he talks shit every week about what he's going to do to the Jagged Edge. He keeps coming. Strick the same way. People want people they can relate to. I walked in the building. I didn't see nobody look like me. Hell, what the hell I'm doing here? That's the same thing over and over. Now, Danny and Strick, you just made a statement. You called out two names, Danny Only. Seven, Jagged Edge. So before anything else gets done, we're going to make sure we put that in a match. Seven, Jagged Edge, Hate Junkies. Get it done quickly so we can put you out your misery. Strick, you ain't got to worry about hitting the biggest guy in the mouth. I'm going to stand there and tell you to hit me. And we're going to see if you're going to stand tall and be standing at the end. If the Urban Assault Squad don't finish you off Saturday night, Saturday 7 and the Jagged Edge wheel. Now that you can take to the bank.
Are you quite through filleting yourself? Just saying. Because just wondering, it seemed like a lot of, you know, auditory auto-fellatio going on. And did I interrupt?
Hey, that's a big word.
Yeah, he hung up like he usually calls in and says that stuff and leaves.
Strick. You can't go using big words now.
I know. I do it on purpose just because dumber people don't get them.
Well, Strick minds.
Real quick, speaking of the Jagged Edge, was it Saturday night, TNT's Heat Wave?
Yes, sir.
He both lost and regained the TNT Heavyweight Championship somehow without losing his undefeated streak. But I believe you were in the main event, which was a big 5-on-5 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 4-on-4, Team Gentry versus Team Bone Break. The winner will take over as permanent GM of the company. And it was myself, Zach Daniels, and Kevin Blue, and Michael Gentry against Ryan Bone Break, John Hogan, Chad Silva, and Goat Boy. I mean, Zach Blaine. in which... I mean, it was one of those 2 minutes in, and they keep going back and forth with entries until everyone was out there, and it's a submissions-only thing. A lot of blood was shed, and a lot of people got hit really fucking hard. To his credit, I will give John Hogan his due. He punched me right in the mouth after shoving a handful of thumbtacks in my mouth, and that it's not often... someone does something to me where I'm like, hey, that really fucking hurt. But I give you credit, John Hogan. You got me.
Hey, I got an idea for you, dummy. Don't fucking eat thumbtacks.
No, they tell me that, but I'm not one to listen. So, yeah, team won, and all has been restored. right with the world. And the question that I just kept asking myself is, how in the hell did I end up on the good guy team? I mean, I guess I'm a good mercenary just because I don't really care who I beat up, just that I'm beating someone up. But, these things, they alarm me from time to time. I wonder about the sanity of people that cheer for us. So, yeah.
All right. Well, real quick, before we end the show, there's a little promotion called WWE that's got a 1,000th episode of some show called Raw that's starting right now. But we'll get to that. But,
hey, real quick. Hey, don't know you play the music. Real quick. Fun fact.
No. Hold on. We're going to get to that. First, I want to mention Strychnine. You'll be in a few weeks at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Do you know who you're wrestling there?
I do not.
Okay, and when is that?
I imagine it'll be something hardcore death match, something. Cause last year I got to wrestle Sabu, and he beat me, but again, it's not often you get to step in the ring with an international fucking legend, so.
And that, what are the dates on that? Do you know offhand? It's in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's August, weekend of the 9th.
Okay. So that's up in Illinois somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but there's wrestling.
It's
and
Ric
Flair is hosting one night of the event, which features a bunch of bands like Fear Factory and Static X and all the psychopathic Insane Clown Posse Juggalo bands. And wrestling, I think, is like every night, right?
Friday, Saturday, and their biggest one will be Sunday. Their Bloody Mania, their big dealio. So, concerts every day, wrestling almost every day, all kinds of, man. They book stand-up comedians for late night. They had some motocross stuff going on. I mean, it's almost every form of entertainment is hit on over the course of this four-day, five-night thing. And, this is the only time I go camping, let's put it that way, but it's on a campground. on the shore of the Ohio River. So, interesting.
And then just 2 or 3 weeks after that is Dragon Con, where the Hate Junkies have wrestled for the past several years. Are you guys going to be there again this year?
That's my plan.
To be determined.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about all that more in the next few weeks. But before we get to Fun Fact with Danny Only, I would like to ask everyone to vote for Georgia Wrestling Now, WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, in the Creative Loafing Best of Atlanta 2012. You can go to CLATL.com, and between today and this Sunday, the 30th, there are several categories that qualify. You can go to the Wrestling with Pop Culture Facebook page to see all the categories that I think Georgia Wrestling Now and Wrestling with Pop Culture fit into. But again, just go to WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and click on the little icon on the right, and you can vote there between now and Sunday. And I guess that's it. So, Matt, what time is it? Or Danny, you had something before we get to the fun fact?
I was just going to throw my fun fact out there real quick so everybody could go ahead and watch Raw.
Well, let's let Matt set it up, and then we'll let you do your thing. Matt, you still there? Maybe Matt's not there.
It is time for our fun fact with Danny Elton.
Go, Danny.
Brock Lesnar has a... No, I'm just joking. for those that are not
spoiler
in the know, everybody's favorite mercenary, Deadpool, has his own video game coming out. Go to YouTube, check out Deadpool video game. It's pretty awesome, and it looks like it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So everybody go check that out.
I saw that. I think they debuted the trailer or whatever at San Diego Comic-Con, but it does look pretty good.
Yep,
so,
and I like at the end when he says, suck it, Wolverine.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm out, man. I'm going to watch wrestling, and I can't believe I just said that, but I'm watching wrestling with my son. Y'all be good. Talk to you next week.
All right. Well, Matt, we didn't get to talk about a lot of stuff, but we talked about a lot of other stuff. So
that's how it always goes around here.
We will catch up on the Platinum Championship Wrestling and Empire Wrestling and all the other things we didn't talk about next Monday at 7 p.m., our new start time, because Vince McMahon made it that way. But talk to you next week. Make sure you go to georgiawrestlinghistory.com, gwhnews.com, and wrestlingwithpopculture.com. And I pressed the button, and it's not playing. There it goes.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.